We are going to start by reading the text that I'll be preaching on in John 15. If you can take your Bibles and open up to that passage in John 15, verses 1 through 11, I'll start by reading the passage for us. John 15, verses 1 through 11. All right. Jesus says these words, and John records, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, now we bow before you as we continue worshiping together before you. You are the one true God. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself through your word. And now, as we study this passage, we ask that you would send your Spirit to give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive your message spoken by your Son, recorded in John's Gospel. Lord, move us along in this journey of abiding in Christ. To you be the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, friends, it is by God's grace that I share with you that my wife and I have three children that we are rather fond of. Our oldest actually right now is preaching the sermon at our home church. He is back. He's doing missions with him and his wife and our little granddaughter, his daughter. And so he's back. Our second son is getting ready to get married. And these kids keep growing up. They're becoming young adults, or they are young adults. And in parenting them, my wife and I have tried to help them wrestle through what it really means to be a healthy, productive, God-glorifying Christian. What is the Christian life all about? Well, there are many in various religions around the world, and even in churches, Christian churches, there are many who say, "I think the Christian life is all about the rules. It's all about doing good and not doing what's bad." There's an idea in people's minds that if I obey God's laws, then he'll accept me. Then he'll bless me. But if I break them, if I break his laws, judgment, God's judgment is coming upon me. It's coming my way. And oftentimes I fear that we set ourselves, our children, and others up for failure and destruction instead of success when we have a list of rules as our main goal in the Christian life. Well, in John 15, our passage today, Jesus makes crystal clear how to live the Christian life joyfully and victoriously. It's not about our performance. It's not about following this rule and that rule and this and that. It's all about, friends, it's all about being connected with Christ, abiding in Him, in the words of our text. The natural result of abiding in Christ, well, it's that we bear fruit. It will naturally be produced, which glorifies God and fills us with enduring joy. It's our main point this morning coming out of our passage. Let us abide in Christ, which will bear fruit for God's glory and our full joy. Friends, we need to abide in Christ because that will bear fruit for God's glory and our full joy. Before we get into John 15, we need to see the context, the surrounding verses in our passages. Actually, John 15 is part of a larger section going from John 13 through John 16, where Jesus is preparing his closest followers for his approaching departure. In less than a day from the time that Jesus says these words, he will be hanging on a cross, and the world of those disciples will absolutely turn upside down. So in this section, Jesus reminds his disciples, he reminds them of how to be in relationship with God, with each other, and how the Holy Spirit is going to help them walk through the challenges that they face in the world. In the center of this final discourse, this Olivet discourse that Jesus is giving, this communication he's giving to his followers, you can kind of imagine perhaps that Jesus is walking toward Gethsemane with his disciples, and he uses vines that are growing along the side of the path and branches and fruit to communicate the vital importance of being, remaining connected with Christ. Now, normally, as I'm sure Pastor Mark does as well, I prefer to preach verse by verse going through a section like this. That's usually what I do. It works really well for Paul and for various writers. But John is a little bit more thematic. And so to organize our thoughts, it'll be helpful to follow along. In fact, you've got a bulletin insert there. You can see where we're going and take some notes down. We're going to be covering every verse, but I'll take it a little bit by themes as we go through this passage. So we start off with three important roles as we see this metaphor that Jesus introduces for being connected with Jesus Christ. First of all, in verse 1, three important roles. The first role is the vine. Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. He is the vine. He mentions that in verse 1 and verse 5. In the Old Testament, Israel You may remember in Isaiah chapter 5 verses 1 through 7, it's very clear that Israel was God's vine. But they were not a good vine. They did not produce good fruit. And so now Jesus says that he is the true vine. He is the true vine. He supplies life for the branches so that they can bear good fruit. But he has help in this because we see also in verse 1, Jesus says, "And my Father is the vine dresser." My Father is the vine dresser. The God, the Father, is the one who works to care for the vine, to remove certain branches, to prune other branches for the health of the vine. So we have Jesus as the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and then in verse 5 we can see that there are branches. Branches. Jesus here is contrasting two different kinds of branches. Those who abide in the vine and they bear fruit, and there are those who do not abide in the vine and they do not bear fruit. Now, I know that there's a lot of debate in Christianity about whether Jesus is referring to two different types of Christians, those that are healthy Christians, those that are unhealthy Christians, or is he referring to true Christians that are connected and contrasting those that may look like Christians, but in fact are not true Christians. Whatever your perspective on that, what is clear that Jesus is emphasizing, that John is drawing our attention to, what is clear is that all Christians must be connected to Jesus Christ. All Christians must be connected to Christ. And we'll see this now through the lens of two vital actions that Jesus emphasizes. The first is abiding, and the second is bearing fruit. And most of our time, just in case you get nervous where we are on the outline, most of our time is going to be spent here in these vital actions. Remember that main point? Let us abide in Christ, which will bear fruit for God's glory and our full joy. So the first vital action we need to see this is abiding. To abide. It's actually mentioned, Jesus says 10 times in our passage. Something is repeated a lot of times. It's got to be important. And so Jesus says 10 times. And in fact, it's the only thing in our passage that is commanded. Bearing fruit, not commanded. Abiding. Abiding is commanded. So what does it look like? What is Jesus talking about here by abiding? Similar words would be to stay or to remain, to reside, to live, to dwell. In fact, in order to get a clear picture of this, we need to go back a chapter earlier when Jesus introduces this idea of abiding. He begins to explain this abiding union between him and his followers by sharing about the relationship in the Trinity. The relationship in the Trinity in chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, verse 17, 20, 23. Jesus says, the Father abides in the Son. The Father is in the Son. The Son is in the Father. Both the Son and the Father, as well as the Holy Spirit, are abiding in us. They're dwelling. They're living. Their home is in us. It gives us a picture here of what Jesus is talking about with us abiding in him, him abiding in us. To abide in Christ, friends, means to be united with him. To dwell or to remain in relationship with Jesus. Where we stick close to Him despite whatever storms and struggles may come. As a picture of this, in Acts 27, we find the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome. He is a prisoner on a ship. This ship is sailing, verses 30 to 32, it is sailing through some stormy seas. A storm attacks the ship in Acts 27, and the ship is ready to break apart. The sailors on the ship see the imminent danger that they're in, and they seek to escape from the ship. And so they had lowered down the lifeboat, the extra boat that was attached to the ship, saying that they were going to lay anchor, but really they were trying to escape. Paul says, wait. Don't leave the ship. He says these words to the soldiers that were on the ship. The centurion, the soldiers, he says, unless these men, these sailors, unless we all stay, abide, remain in the ship, you cannot be saved. The soldiers hear that word. They cut the line, send the lifeboat away. The ship is protected by God and everyone's life is saved because they stayed. They abided. They remained on the ship. And that's exactly the point that Jesus is saying here. Cut away all options, all the alternatives for leaving, for turning to anyone else other than Jesus Christ. Stay, remain, abide in Christ. Do you get the picture of what he's talking about here by abiding, or other translations say remain? Same idea. Now we need to ask the question, is Jesus talking about how to be saved? Is this how we come into relationship with God? And I don't think that's Jesus' emphasis here, because if you look at verse 3, look with me at verse 3, he says, already, speaking to his disciples, you are clean. You are spiritually clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. His followers are clean spiritually because of Jesus' spoken word. In other words, they have already been saved by God's Spirit because they embraced Jesus' word, His teachings. Judas is gone by now from that gathering, and he says, you're already clean spiritually, so now in response to God's cleansing, saving work through the Word, now believers, His disciples, you and I, are to abide in Christ. We are to abide in Christ. And to draw this out a little bit more, I want us to explore three ways that Jesus emphasizes we are to abide. Three ways that we are to abide. First of all, we are to abide in Jesus' life. We abide in Jesus' life. Jesus makes it clear in verses 2, 4, 5, and 6 that if those who are disconnected from the vine, well, those branches are going to wither and die. But if they're connected to the vine, Jesus' life-giving nutrients will be flowing into us, producing life and fruit. It's really quite simple. Abiding leads to life, and not abiding, well, that means no life. That leads to destruction. There is no middle ground. You either abide, leading to life, or you do not abide, and there is no life in you. No true spiritual life. The Apostle Paul uses the same idea when he describes our connection with Jesus Christ, our life in Christ, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You remember that familiar verse? He says, I have been crucified what? With Christ. Not just Christ is crucified. We are crucified with Him. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You can hear that connection that the Apostle Paul is emphasizing there in Galatians 2. Our life, Jesus' life, inextricably intertwined, connected, linked together forever. We abide in Jesus' life. Secondly, we abide in Jesus' love. We abide in Jesus' love. Here, jump with me down to verse 9. Verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus says, there's a statement, as the Father, as the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves us. And then the command, based upon that statement, abide in Jesus' love. Abide in His love. We know some things about Jesus' love. It has no beginning, no ending. It is steady, complete. It is unconditional. And we are to abide in it. And abiding in Jesus' love is shown in actions. Jesus makes clear, like obeying Him. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Obedience to Christ, loving others, like it talks about in verse 12, this is all flowing out of our love relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's sort of the process Jesus is talking about. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves us. We abide in that love, and that is shown in our actions. In, for example, our obedience, loving others, and these sorts of things. So we abide in Jesus' life. We abide in Jesus' love. And then third, Jesus says that He, Jesus, and His words must abide in us. He and His words must abide in us. Look with me at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish. Okay. What is Jesus talking about here? Ask whatever you wish. This is one of the most easily misunderstood, twisted verses in Scripture. Ask whatever you wish. God, I've got a list of things that I want. Ask whatever. What is He saying here? Well, remember the focus repeated over and over throughout this passage is on abiding. Abiding, staying connected with Jesus Christ. And the idea is that if Jesus and His will, His words, His teachings, if these fill our thoughts, our desires, well then our prayers that we pray to God, well they're naturally going to please God. They will be fruitful because they bring God glory. The emphasis in our passage is on abiding, not what I can get from God, but staying connected with Jesus Christ, with Jesus and His words abiding in us. So these are three ways that Jesus emphasized that this abiding needs to happen. So what does all this look like, this abiding? What does this look like in our lives? How do we do it? Well, one of the main ways that we do this is simply to walk and talk with Jesus constantly throughout the day. It's not just a once a week Sunday morning activity that we do. If we are truly abiding in Christ, it's an every moment of every day sort of an activity. An example of this. You heard earlier, I work in Africa. It's a long ways away. Those flights are not getting any shorter. And that takes a toll as I spend time every month in various parts of Africa or Asia, parts all around the world, equipping pastors to handle God's word well. As I spend time in these various places, it can be very difficult to maintain a close relationship with my family, particularly my wife. Okay? How do we do this? How do we stay connected with each other in relationship when I'm a whole lot of miles away from her? Well, I assure you, we're not perfect. But one way that we grow in our connection is through frequent communication. Through frequent communication. As I am walking on board the plane, I'm talking to her as I'm getting ready to leave the States. Nowadays in planes, oftentimes they have connection abilities, texting abilities, and so I'm texting with her as I'm flying around the world. I land in the target country, and she's the first call that I make, staying connected together. I get a local SIM card and I pop it in my phone, and now I can send her pictures and videos and different ways of communicating with each other so that we can be connected with each other. Are you with me here? We stay connected in these sorts of ways. Frequent communication aids this connection. And so, the same thing is true in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Frequent communication, talking with Him, sharing with Him. And not only this, but when we have big decisions that we're facing, we turn to Him first. For wisdom, we look in His Word for God's guidance, God's truth to weigh in on those decisions. We meditate on His Word. We hang on to Jesus through the storms of life. He is our best friend. He is our reigning Lord. And we walk with Him. Friends, let us abide in Christ, which will bear fruit for God's glory and our full joy. This then leads us to our second vital action. It'll be quite a bit quicker. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. We must bear fruit. This is mentioned six times and a couple more that are implied, so it's still repeated many times. And we need to ask the question, what is Jesus talking about? Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Well, fruit, we know, is the natural byproduct of health, of life. If a branch is connected well to the vine, it will just naturally bear fruit. It will produce fruit. In this way, bearing fruit is sort of the external sign of internal abiding. Bearing fruit, the external product, the visible sign of internal abiding, abiding in Christ. And John gives three examples of this bearing fruit. He says it's obedience in verse 10. obeying God's commands. It's loving others, verse 12. It's kingdom growth in verse 16. All very good, important things. Remember, though, it's not what's commanded in our passage. Abiding is commanded. Bearing fruit will naturally come as we are abiding. So that begins to answer the question, how do we bear fruit? How do we bear fruit? Look with me at verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus makes clear in verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much, much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Just as the branch only bears fruit if it's connected to the vine, so we only produce true spiritual fruit if we are connected to Jesus. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. No lasting spiritual fruit. Nothing of eternal value. Friends, we may work so hard. Let me bring this close to us. We may work so hard in various endeavors that we set our hands to in our own strength and yet have no lasting spiritual fruit, oftentimes because we are not connected to Christ. We are not abiding in him. We're just serving in our own energy, in our own efforts. And so we hear the challenge, beware becoming so consumed with fruit bearing that we neglect that far more important abiding in Christ. This happens quite easily in our lives because fruit is so visible. It is so sweet and tangible, and we love being fruit bearers. We focus on fruit bearing very easily when we focus on ourselves, on our works. Our focus shifts to us, our performance, our service, our ministry, whatever it is that we are setting our hands to, rather than focusing primarily on Jesus Christ. In this way, friends, our fruit, the fruit that we want to bear, can actually become an idol if we focus on that more than on Jesus Christ. Now, certainly God wants us to bear fruit, to be productive in our lives. He works towards that end in our lives, pruning us, but this is not to be our focus. This is not to be our focus. When our emphasis, instead of on fruit bearing, is on our connection with Jesus Christ, the natural product is that fruit bearing, well, it becomes joyful, we'll see in verse 11. It is natural, verse 6. It is abundant, verses 2 and 6. And it will endure, verse 16, because it flows from Jesus Christ. Verse 5 emphasizes. Now, Jesus makes clear that there are some consequences, both from bearing fruit and from not bearing fruit. And I want you to notice that God's activity is the main area that he focuses on, Jesus focuses on here. In verse 6, we see that branches who do not abide or bear fruit, well, God removes them. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The idea here is God removes those branches that are not abiding, not bearing fruit. He removes them from the vine. They wither. They're thrown into the fire. That's a Jewish symbol for judgment and destruction. Because they are useless. They're hindering good health and growth of the vine. In contrast to that, branches that bear fruit, we see in verse 2, every branch in me, first of all, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So what is Jesus saying here? Well, the branches that are bearing fruit, when we are connected to Christ, God prunes, which is a painful, think of it like a cleaning process, removing the sins, removing the distractions, the Hebrews 12, the things that hinder us, the sin that so easily trips us up, that slow down that fruit production so that we can produce more and better fruit. So that we can produce more and better fruit. Now this then leads us, we're near the end, two amazing results that we see. And you're going to love this. Look at verse 8. This is so awesome. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus says that while we are connected to Jesus Christ, connected to Him, we're abiding in Him, which is expressed in natural fruit production, Two things happen. God the Father is glorified. God the Father is glorified. And at the same time, we validate, we prove, we show that we are true followers of Jesus Christ. Abiding Christ, bearing fruit. Friends, they're not primarily about us. They're about spreading God's glory globally, giving Him glory, exalting His name all over the world. And at the same time, we show, we prove that we are true followers of His. These two amazing results finally lead us to Jesus' joyful purpose in verse 11. Jesus' joyful purpose for all of this abiding, fruit-bearing, verse 11, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, here's what I'm really driving at, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. That my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Jesus ends our section by emphasizing that despite the approaching difficult times, remember the disciples, their world is going to turn upside down. They're going to go through hardship and struggle as their Savior, their leader is crucified. Despite all the difficulties of life, Jesus' desire, His goal, are for our good, that His followers, that we would experience maximum, full Jesus joy. Jesus joy. Joy can be such a great gauge for us, friends, in our service to Him, as we're walking with Him. There is a great test to see if we're more focused on Christ or on ourselves in our service, our fruit, our activities, our performance. Well, if we're focused on these before Jesus Christ, then eventually that service is going to get heavy, weighty. It's going to drag us down. It's going to sap the joy from us. Versus if Jesus is at the center, if we are connected to Christ, that service will be given in joy. It will be filled up because it is flowing from Jesus Christ. It's flowing from Jesus Christ. Full joy like Jesus had, even as he was hanging on the cross, Hebrews 12 says. And that joy that Jesus offers us, well, it's not tied to externals, clearly. It's not tied to things like our fruit, like our circumstances. Even when the disciples came back from their short mission trip, Jesus says, don't rejoice at all the good things that you did that were accomplished, this wonderful fruit bearing. No, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because we are connected to Christ. Let us abide in Christ, which will bear fruit for God's glory and our full joy. Finally, friends, I want to just offer a final appeal to you from our passage here. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Cling desperately to the vine, to Jesus Christ. Cling to him. He is our life. He is our love. He is our joy. And anything in this life that would separate us from Jesus Christ must be ruthlessly eradicated, removed, cut off. Whether it is sin, whether it is those fleshly desires and the world's influences, whether it's forces of evil or the distractions, the entanglements, whatever it is, Jesus is the one who gives our lives meaning and purpose. Remember, he says, the branch without the vine can do nothing. With the vine, we have purpose. We have meaning. When I focus on abiding in Christ and not in me, not in my fruit, my performance, my successes, my failures, when I am spiritually nourished and find my complete joy and satisfaction in him, well, there is more joy. There is better fruit. That fruit lasts. It endures. And God is glorified because everything is tied to Jesus Christ, not us. This is the victorious Christian life connected to Christ. Let's pray together, friends.